This show furnished by GS Medical Center and Dr. Gregory A. Smith.
Cutting through the massive disinformation and propaganda to give you the truth about medical and political controversies. This is Truth, Medicine, and Politics with the executive producer of the award-winning film, American Addict, Dr. Gregory A. Smith. To get on air live with your questions or comments, call 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-5222. Or 800-ABC-KABC. And now, Dr. Gregory A. Smith.
And it is Saturday night, and that means that I am back. This is Dr. Gregory A. Smith, and you are listening to Truth, Medicine, and Politics. And every week, as usual, we try and bring you a lot of truth. And I have an incredible guest tonight who I'm going to bring on in a minute. But many of you know that this November, not only are we having an election between most probably Hillary and Donald Trump, but we're also locally here in California having a marijuana initiative on the ballot. And this is controversial. We had one, I think, 4 years ago, and very similar situation that did not pass. But this one seems to have a lot of support. It is the so-called Adult Use of Marijuana Act. And you all heard me on this program before talk about the benefits that I feel that medicinal marijuana has, cannabidiol oil capsules, etc. And I've also said that I thought it should be legalized in general. But after speaking to my guest a year ago and earlier, I'm starting to change my mind about that. So what we're going to talk about tonight is not only drug addiction in our children especially, but is it really a good idea to have marijuana legalized in California? I mean, out in Colorado, everyone's saying it's a great thing. Tax revenue's high, unemployment is low, but is really that whole story? Is that everything? Is that the end all be all to this? Are there other problems with legalizing marijuana? So my guest tonight is Michael De Leon, and he has one of the most incredible stories that I've ever heard, and I'll let him tell it in a minute. But right now, Michael basically travels the country. He lectures to thousands and thousands of teens and kids about drug abuse, and he should know. He has been on both sides of this, and without spoiling it, I'm going to let him tell a story. And Michael, are you there?
Yes, Dr. Smith, how you doing?
I'm very good, and I know you're on the road now, actually, so I appreciate you taking time out to be with us tonight. Michael, just your website, I just want to get that out right now, is Steered Straight. It's like you're steering a wheel. Steered Straight, STEERED, straight.org. A great site that people should visit. Can you tell the audience a little bit about what happened to you, your story, and then we're going to talk about, you know, the legalization of marijuana?
Yeah, I mean, my story is so lengthy, obviously, to cover everything. Sometimes when I only take a couple minutes just to tell the brief version, and if someone goes and looks it up, goes to our website and sees some things, obviously, that I didn't mention, sometimes people feel, well, I didn't tell the whole story. So just as an initial statement, I'm not telling the whole story because we don't have time. But the short of it is that I was very successful running a big package delivery business in North Carolina. We had over 400 employees. We covered about 8 states with 16 terminals. And very successful. I got into caffeine pills. And between 88 and 92, the caffeine pills that they were selling at the convenience stores weren't caffeine pills. They were selling amphetamines. The FDA later banned all those ingredients, but they were selling legal speed, controlled dangerous substances, in the stores, in the convenience stores, for years before those products were removed. But I got addicted to amphetamines, and I was convinced I wasn't addicted because I bought them over the counter. They were sold, so how could I be addicted to something that's sold, you know? Same kind of thing is happening now with prescription medication. Hey, it came from a doctor, so how could it be so bad? So the problem was I got completely addicted. traded the caffeine tablets for cocaine with a best friend of mine who convinced me that cocaine was much safer than the caffeine pills that were causing me medical problems. And I became a full-blown cocaine addict. I lost my multi-million-dollar business. I was bought out by our partners and ended up on the streets in a gang shooting cocaine and heroin. I spent all my money, all the money I made selling my business on cocaine and heroin, and I probably put $1 million into my arms in about 18 months. My wife, I was married at the time with two kids. She decided to leave. She came to her senses and leave. And my gang involvement got very, very serious. My drug use got very, very serious. And I had put a drug deal together that went horribly wrong, and some people got shot. Some drugs and money went missing. So I went off on a three-day drug binge to lay low for a little while and let things die down. And I had moved in with my 63-year-old mother after my wife had left me because I had really nowhere else to go. And I came home after 3 days of a drug binge to find my 63-year-old mother strangled and killed on her bedroom floor.
Wow.
They came looking for me. I've since found out the two people that it was. They came looking for me, and I wasn't home. They found her, and they took her life. Now, they were later killed for going outside of ranking and doing things that they weren't approved to do. They were supposed to pick me up and take me back, and I wasn't there, so they killed my mother. And so I ended up incarcerated for 5 years, got out of prison after 5 years, and really nothing in my psyche changed, nothing in my mind changed. You couldn't tell me I was a drug addict. I just had a bad problem there with drugs, but now I'm clean for 5 years, so I should be good. And 10 months later, after getting out of prison, my wife's back in my life, our kids back in my life, we're driving down the New Jersey Turnpike, and the truck in front of us flips over, and the back of the truck comes down on the roof of our car. My wife's wrists were smashed, and the roof of the car came down on my head and cracked 3, 5, and 6 vertebrae in my neck. I went into the hospital for 10 days, and I had just got out of prison. I had just got this new job, so my insurance really wasn't that good, and the hospital wanted to release me with an appointment to the neurologist to get neck surgery. I had 5 millimeters of circumference in my spinal column. I needed neck surgery. But I walked out of the hospital with 11 different medications, and two of those medications were Vicodin and 80 milligram OxyContin. And within a month, I was on 6 different pain medications, 3 benzodiazepines, a barbiturate, fioricitabine, Vioxx, Galaxin, Mobic, and Neurontin. And I walked out of the hospital with a bottle of with a box of 12 bottles of morphine liquid.
Wow.
And I was quickly off to the races again. And these drugs put me into a very precarious situation once my doctors really saw and realized that I was going through these drugs like water and candy. They decided to kind of slow down on their prescriptions. So I became a doctor shopper. And within 10 months of that accident, I was seeing over 50 doctors in 6 counties and 3 states, getting in excess of 7,000 pain pills a month. And I was selling all those pain pills on the street, and I traded it back for my heroin and cocaine again. And there was a drug transaction that was supposed to, you know, I was supposed to have $1,200 given to me by a kid who said he paid me, but he really didn't pay me. And they came into my house and put a gun to my wife's head, a gun to my daughter's face, over $1,200 that was supposed to be given to me but was never paid to me. And when we went to confront the kid who said he paid me, he came clean, and they shot and killed him right in front of me. And so I ended up going back to prison as a result of that and the violation of probation for obviously being high, possessing drugs, gun, and I went back to prison for 7 more years. Now, when I got out of prison the second time after 12 years in prison, total time now, I had a different attitude. I understood addiction. I understood that I was, suffering from the disease of addiction. I understood that what I needed to do was address that, or nothing else would be, and I wouldn't have a life. So about 3 years out of prison the second time, I became a drug counselor. I went back to school for counseling, and I became a drug counselor. And I had a caseload of 26 kids. My caseload counseling was being supervised to get my state certification. And in the span of 10 days, I lost four of those kids to a heroin overdose. I'd worked on a lot of different documentaries and projects. I love to edit and I love to film, but I never did my own project. But when those four kids died, their story became part of my story, and I went down into Camden, New Jersey with my camera equipment, and for 11 months I interviewed 137 suburban, rural, you know, mostly Caucasian, but middle class, upper middle class, and affluent kids on the streets of Camden hooked on heroin. And so I wanted to find out how they got there. I made a documentary called Kids Are Dying. It was my first project all by myself. It's won rave reviews. It's won a lot, ton of film festivals. And it's really impacted a lot of treatment centers across the country. Kids are dying. I never saw anything like it in my life. I never saw the kind of people that were on the street and what they were addicted to and how they got there. And I decided to travel the country to see if it was nationwide. I mean, I was reading the newspaper in 07 and 08 and 09, and I was starting to see that it was a national epidemic, but I wanted to see for myself and I wanted to document it. So I traveled to 40 states and I interviewed over 500 people, and I went to 128 funerals in the last 3.5 years, and I made a documentary called An American Epidemic. And it's everywhere in America. You know, the DEA's newest report came out yesterday that it's escalating in the first 6 months of this year. It's the highest 6 months in our country's history, and it's going to get a lot worse. I personally don't believe we will see the peak of opiate deaths in America until 2018 or 2019.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of reasons for that. But
Michael, let me step in one second because you've given out a lot of information, and I want you to keep talking. I just want to remind our audience here, I'm speaking, we have Michael DeLeon tonight on the show. If you missed the opening part of this where he was telling his own personal story, it is, and he gave the short version. I just want everyone to know that when I first met Michael a little bit of over, about a year ago, actually, when we were doing the premiere of American Addict 2, when he told me his full story in a restaurant, it was one of the rare times I was literally fighting back tears, and I'm not a big crier. It is an amazing story, and I just want people to make sure they go to the website and read the long version, because it's worth it. And the work that you've done, especially all around the country with children. So go ahead. You were saying you don't believe that we've seen the peak of this, right, the opioid addiction in this country.
Well, you know, we're in the middle of a heroin crisis, and a lot of things happened. I call it a perfect storm. In 1995, the FDA approved oxycodone. Purdue Pharma and other opiate pharmaceutical companies, the floodgates opened, and they saw the future. And by 2000, they had convinced Congress, Bill Clinton, Newt Gingrich, they convinced Congress and the president to allow direct-to-consumer marketing of pharmaceuticals on TV. The reason that happened, a lot of people don't know the reason that happened. The reason that happened is because the FDA went to the pharmaceutical industry and said, hey, for all these generics, you have to do the same research that you did on medication. And they said, well, then they wouldn't be generics. In order to make that deal, they opened the TV networks for direct-to-consumer marketing of pharmaceutical drugs. And then if you look at the bell curve from 2000 to 2015, how opiates climbed, they started marketing opiates for everything from wisdom tooth to rotator cuff tears to sprained ankles. They marketed it to dentists. They produced bogus studies that long-term use of OxyContin and long-term use of opiates was okay, that it was great for chronic pain. Acute pain, it wasn't great for chronic pain. We were treating, you know, we're using a hammer for when we should be using a fly swatter. So we really had a problem. At the very same time that this was happening, pain became the fifth vital sign. And doctors were hoodwinked by the pharmaceutical industry that they could prescribe opiates for chronic pain. At the very same time this all happened, we started minimizing the dangers of marijuana across the country. And people like the Drug Policy Alliance decided to get on board, use some ruse about Narcan and Good Samaritan laws, and getting behind some good common sense legislation, they wanted to legalize marijuana. But the problem with that is we took the marijuana market away from the cartels in Mexico. I mean, we were getting most of our marijuana out of Mexico. Now we ship marijuana to Mexico. I was just down in Mexico, and they're getting marijuana shipped to them out of Colorado because it's not marijuana anymore. It's turned into a THC toxic poison, and the marijuana potency is 10 times higher than Mexico ever produced.
What do you mean, Michael? Let's clarify for the audience, because when we talk about, and this is a big deal in California because, as you know, in November it's on the ballot, and when we talk about marijuana, it has been marginalized as something that seems to be safer, with the emphasis being on the prescription opioids and the heroin epidemic.
I guess if we were talking about the stuff that I smoked back in the 80s and the 90s, I wouldn't have as strong of an opinion. But we didn't legalize marijuana in Colorado. What we did was we commercialized it, and we opened the floodgates. In the Constitution of Colorado, they define marijuana as anything containing marijuana, including extracts, oils, butane hash oil, wax, edibles, anything that contained marijuana. People don't realize, I can't wait till this movie comes out. I'm making a movie about it. It comes out August 18th called Marijuana X. And you walk into some of these shops and you can buy THC suppositories, vaginal and anal suppositories. I walked into a recreational dispensary called Sweet Leaf in Denver, Colorado, and the girl looked me in my eyes after I said, why would you put a THC suppository in your rectum? And she said, some of our clients come in and use it on a regular basis. It's cured their colon cancer.
Wow.
I said, first of all, are you a doctor? No. This isn't even a medical dispensary. This is a clerk in a recreational dispensary handing out medical advice to people getting diagnosed with colon cancer. And you're going to stick THC suppositories in your rear end and in the hopes that you're going to cure your colon cancer? I asked her about the vaginal suppositories, and they're selling it as sex-enhancing products for women. You put a THC suppository in your vaginal area, and it's supposed to relax. It's supposed to, the THC is supposed to contact with the cannabinoid receptors in your pelvic area and relax you to the point to where you enjoy sex better.
Hmm.
Now, this, I don't believe that this is what California voters are expecting when they legalize marijuana. You know, this is not Cheech and Chong anymore. This is not your grandmother's weed. The DEA, I'll give you an example. The DEA has confiscated drugs since 1960 in every state in America, and they've tested purity levels all across the country. The DEA can tell you what the marijuana THC purity level was in 1960 and what it is today in any state that you ask them about. In 1960, the average THC level in marijuana was 2%. In 2011, in 51 years, we went from 1 and 2% to 11 and 12%. From 2013 until 2015, we went from 11, 12% to 40%.
Wow.
In 2 years, we've done what botanists couldn't do in 51, because now we're extracting. There's extraction labs in Denver behind closed doors in these light industrial warehouses that are extracting the THC out of marijuana. And so then what they're doing is they're taking other hybrid marijuana that they've bred together, increase the THC level, and then they're taking this oil, turning it into a spray, and then spraying the flower to get even a higher level THC sprayed onto the marijuana. So now you're dealing with a 36, 38% THC level with THC sprayed onto the bud. The THC level in the concentrates, the waxes and the concentrates that kids are actually smoking in vape pens, is between 70 and 95% THC. The highest one I found so far advertised was 95% THC.
How do people
You're a voter in a voting booth in California, and you're looking at a ballot measure, they're not telling you the truth. They didn't tell Colorado voters the truth, and now there's buyer's remorse. There's many people in Colorado that said, this is not what we voted for. It's not what we voted for.
Yeah, that's.
And youth use in Colorado is up dramatically. And the homeless population is through the roof. And car fatalities,
So, Michael, let me slow you down. You're giving out tons of information, which is great. Let me back up a little bit. When you talk about THC levels, 70, 80, 90%, I don't even know how can someone even do that, because it's so hallucinogenic or psychogenic, I should say, wouldn't the person just be completely incapacitated, or are these people that work up to that level? You know, they're just stoners.
Yes, and they are. And the first time that you do it, you're really supposed to use extreme caution. I went into a dispensary where the oils are sold. All they sell are these oils. It was called Mahatma, M-A-H-A-T-M-A, stealing the name of, I guess, Mahatma Gandhi. And so you walk in there, and there's cards, and they instruct you if it's your first time. This is what they advise you to do. If this is your first time dabbing, taking this concentrating, using it, putting it on this contraption that you heat with a butane torch, you heat this nail spindle that you put the wax on up to 700 degrees Fahrenheit to inhale it, to melt the wax onto the pan so you can inhale it, ingest it in a smoke form. They say, when starting, take a small dosage, about and it actually says this on the card, about half the size of a pinhead or less. Now, I've never tried anything for the first time half the size of a pinhead. I don't even know how you get to half the size of a pinhead. But then it says, wait 20 minutes to measure your how you feel, and then stay well hydrated, drinking water, and then depending on your desired effect, you can use more or less, but you'll build up a tolerance to this. So I was in a place called Stoner Hill. You actually can find it on Google in downtown Denver, a park, a beautiful, beautiful park that is just in the evening, late afternoon, evening and night, is inundated by homeless kids that are literally getting stoned high on concentrates, shooting up heroin, lighting up these contraptions with these butane hash oil and these butane torches to dab and to smoke this concentrate. And all you have to do is sit and talk to them for a minute to see the kind of effect it's having on their ability to have a conversation with you.
Michael, we are up against the break. We're going to come back and talk about that. My guest tonight is Michael De Leon. We're talking about drug addiction in children and kids and teens, and we're also talking about the legalization of marijuana in the state of California. We will be right back.
Norm's has two ways to make your mouth water.
Enjoy your SoCal Day Sunny Side Up with Norm's USDA Choice Sirloin Steak and Eggs. Two eggs, two hotcakes, and hash browns. Sunny, sunny, sunny. Only $8.99.
Or stack up your rack with Norm's Baby Back Ribs. Complete rib dinners with golden fried shrimp, crispy chicken tenders, or juicy sirloin steak.
Oh, baby.
Starting at $11.99. Soup and salad included. Served all day.
Norm's is SoCal.
Norm's Restaurants, where life happens. Open 24/7.
18 locations. Normsrestaurants.com.
You can learn to DIY just about anything.
Hey gang, today I'm going to show you how to deep fry a turkey. Now we're going to need some bubbling hot oil and a fat and a few helpers, so I grabbed the kids.
After all, some things are better left to the pros, like buying a home. Because without an expert to guide you from open house to closing, you could be headed for a meltdown.
And now that the bird is cooking, let's take a power nap.
So DIY yourself a favor and get Realtor. Head to Realtor.com/getrealtor today. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
This is Sam at Sam Nation. Listen to my show on 790 KABC.
Neighborhoods all over the country are on high alert. The death toll is now at 96 a day. At that rate, there will be no elephants left in 10 years. And that's a crime against us all. Stop the ivory trade. Fight the crime. Go to 96elephants.org.
Happy 4th of July!
Happy 4th of July weekend from Talk Radio 790 KABC.
These colors don't rhyme.
Want the truth? You're listening to Truth, Medicine, and Politics with Dr. Gregory A. Smith. To get on the air live with your questions or comments, call 800-222-5222. And now, Dr. Gregory A. Smith.
And we are back. My guest tonight is Michael De Leon, and his website is steeredstraight.org. That's steeredstraight.org. He has an incredible personal story about addiction, about being on both sides of this, what happened to him personally. And he has really made it his life's work at this point to really try and make sure this doesn't happen to anybody else, especially the children. And we, before we took the break, Michael, we were talking about just the potency of marijuana, because we're looking at this getting legalized in the state of California in November. And you were saying that there's a place called Stoner Hill. That's really the name of Stoner Hill in Colorado.
Yeah, this woman who lost her daughter to heroin. I mean, stunning. This beautiful, beautiful girl in Aspen, Colorado. She was about to graduate Colorado University salutatorian 2 days before graduation. She overdosed on heroin. Unbelievable story. But anyway, the mother's wanting to do some things, and so she was showing me this video that she took of these kids dabbing and actually talking about it and how they started being incoherent, and they thought they were talking clearly, but they were out of their mind. Literally, they should have been in the hospital. And so I said, where did you record this? She said, Stoner Hill. I'm like, what is that called? Stoner, place where kids hang out? She goes, no, Stoner Hill. She told me where it was. I was down there. I guess I was kind of looking for something else. I wasn't expecting it to be in a huge public park. I literally went on Google, and I just said, there's no way. And it came right up, Stoner Hill, with the street and everything. I went two more blocks, and there it was. I couldn't believe my eyes. Like, I couldn't believe my eyes. I spent the next 4 days there. I'm going back next week for 10 days. I'll spend 3 more days in Stoner Hill. It's on Google. Google Maps will take you right there as one of Denver's tourist attractions, I guess. And this is not something that Denver wants to, you know, show tourists. Across the street, there's these skyscraper apartment buildings where a one-bedroom apartment is $2,800 a month. And I guess, I was talking to a guy. He says, I get to look out my window in the evening at all these kids that are playing. Like, they see them at 5 o'clock in the morning, homeless. They've slept in the park all night long. And they're shooting heroin. I mean, right in front of me. They were shooting heroin on camera. They were dabbing right on camera. These kids, all of them homeless. Well, most of them homeless. There was a couple of drug dealers that were down there just hanging out with the kids because they're selling the drugs to the kids who are all around them. They panhandle. I guess I don't know where else they would get their money, but they're just getting high on Stoner Hill in downtown Denver. And that's, I don't think what voters of Colorado thought was coming along with this. Like, I personally, this is my life. Like, I walked away from my career. This is a 7-day-a-week mission for me. I mean, family calls me crazy. Some of my friends call me crazy. You know, what kind of life is that? This is the only life I want. I want to change the world. I was part of the problem. I was part of the problem of dealing drugs and doing drugs and destroying people's lives, you know, mostly my own. But now since I know so much, I want to prevent kids from traveling in my path. Like, I want kids to grow up to be Dr. Gregory Smith. You know, I want them to grow up to be law enforcement heroes. I want them to grow up to be teachers and engineers and architects. I don't want them to grow up to be me. I want them to avoid the path I traveled. I lost so many friends. I personally have been to 128 funerals in the last 3.5 years, and I could have went to another 500. So the Kids Are Dying documentary came out and showed the heroin epidemic in New Jersey. The American Epidemic documentary was meant to show the widespread panacea, you know, that we're dealing with, this epidemic, pandemic, really, across the country of heroin, fentanyl, and opiates, and it's going to get a lot worse with methamphetamine. But I believe the commercialization of marijuana is the Trojan horse that's going to implode our country. I want, and I believe, marijuana should be downgraded, down schedule to a schedule 2. It could be a schedule 3, but it's the problem by taking it to a Schedule 3 is Schedule 3, there's not much addictive properties in Schedule 3 drugs. The THC is hugely addictive, and it's not the marijuana. Like, people say marijuana is not addictive. First of all, it is, okay? Not for everybody, but it is, depending on genetic makeup and you know all that. It is addictive. It's addictive for kids especially. But what they're selling in Oregon, Washington, and Colorado especially is not marijuana. It's genetically modified THC flower and concentrate.
That's
and
very important.
They're selling it.
Yeah, I think that's very important for people to realize. And just so the audience knows, when we talk about the schedules, marijuana is currently Schedule 1, and this is what the DEA ranks drugs or puts them in different schedules. And Schedule 1 is determines that drugs in that category have no medicinal properties whatsoever. They're wildly addictive. Now, I think most people agree that it should not be Schedule 1 anymore, because the drug, the medicinal marijuana and CBD has been shown to do a lot of great things for people. It's helped cure lots of different diseases and illnesses. So we agree, but I think most people agree that it should be rescheduled to Schedule 2. That would also allow people to research the drug. But I think what you're distinguishing is very important, because even myself, until I had conversations with you, was confused about that. When I thought about marijuana, I'm thinking about marijuana, 70s, 80s, whatever, just regular marijuana that people were smoking that seemed relatively harmless. Now we're dealing with a different animal. We're dealing with a GMO marijuana that's extremely potent. And you're saying that there is a direct link between this and other drugs like heroin and cocaine?
There's no question. You know, it was very unfortunate. Sanjay Gupta on CNN about a month ago, I was on CNN with him and Dr. Drew Pinsky, and he said publicly that there was no medical proof that cannabinoids, cannabinoid receptors and opiate receptors, that there's a link. And it's absolutely been, Harvard Medical School has shown it, proved it, put out paperwork earlier this year on it. So I'll say he was mistaken because he's uninformed, but I don't know how Sanjay Gupta is uninformed. He's probably one of the most informed doctors in the country. So, but he has an agenda. You know, I was very disappointed in Weed 3, his third episode of Weed, because he talked about a couple and their daughter in New Jersey that mean old Governor Christie wouldn't allow to get the child's hands on a strain called Charlotte's Web, a CBD oil that was high concentrate THC as well, and Charlotte's Web, but he wouldn't allow it to be used in New Jersey, so they moved to Denver, Colorado. And by the end of the show, the end of the filming and the taping out there for weeks, the girl was having more seizures than she was having when she moved to Colorado. And instead of CNN covering that and saying, you know what, maybe we should look at this further because it wasn't a panacea phenomenon for this family, the girl is now having more seizures than she was, they literally put it up in text on the screen. They wrote it in text because CNN lawyers made them. They wrote it in text on the screen rather than addressing it and saying it. And I thought that was real disingenuous on behalf of CNN and Sanjay Gupta. So he has an agenda, and he's not, they're not telling the truth about what's really happening. I mean, all I need to do is bring somebody to Colorado for 3 days and take you around. You would understand, and you wouldn't vote for it either. So the California initiative to legalize marijuana is really not legalizing marijuana. It's opening the floodgates to marijuana extracts, oils, waxes, butters that kids can put on vapes, high concentrated THC, 70%, 80%, 90%. They're not regulating it in Colorado. They're not even fighting the use of cartoon characters in the newspaper and print. They're advertising marijuana with cartoon characters. The Marlboro Man is back advertising marijuana in books that you pick up at the Denver airport. There's no regulation whatsoever. And now the state of Colorado last week just allowed tourists to no longer buy a quarter ounce of marijuana per day. Now you can buy 1 ounce of marijuana per day. And so that means 1 ounce one time in one dispensary. Then just walk two doors down the street and walk into another dispensary and you can buy another ounce. Yeah. A tourist can go to Colorado and buy as many ounces as they want and then drive back to their state and sell it for 3, 4, or 5 times the amount. And I can show you how that's happening with the stops from law enforcement and the HIDA report, the HIDTA HIDA report. But I can also show you on Craigslist. Just go to Craigslist and punch in Colorado and then punch in Denver. And in the search bar, type in the word marijuana. It will blow you away for what you're going to see. We've not legalized marijuana. We've commercialized, genetically modified it, and the cartels are in this more than ever. The black market has exploded in Colorado because the stuff is so potent and worth so much money on the street, they can sell it on the street in black market and avoid paying the taxes. And 60% of the marijuana that's sold in Colorado is sold to tourists, out-of-state residences.
That's amazing.
Well, it's a problem in California. It's already got a problem with medical marijuana. It's not really medical marijuana. There is genetically modified product in California. They are selling edibles. They are selling this stuff. It takes nothing to get a marijuana card in California.
True.
But when you add the recreational side in, you open up the floodgates with commercialized genetically modified marijuana, THC, and then you invite crime. And, you know, especially since it's still, people say, why is the crime down up? the crime should be down. And I tell them the crime is up mostly because it's a cash business. It's still federally a Schedule I drug. It's still against the law federally. So the banks can't take any of the money from marijuana sales. So it's all cash. So home invasions are up. They're scoping out these dispensaries to rob, and people are getting robbed for marijuana. Cash.
See,
because the federal government has hindered the banks from taking the money.
Now, on mainstream media, I see a completely different story, because what we hear is that Colorado, the experiment's been a success, that unemployment is way down, that tax revenue is way up. I've even heard that contrary to what you just said, that crime is down. So what do you say to people that it's reporting those statistics?
Yeah, so I guess it depends on where you get your information from. But I sat down with Mitch Morsi, the district attorney in Denver, who has all the cases that they're prosecuting. So violent crime is a hit and runs. He has 17 hit and runs a day in Denver. 17 hit and runs a day in Denver. So that's, I can't say that's because of the marijuana, but their violent crime is up. Their home invasions are up. Their explosions are up. Their arson explosions are up. From people setting up extraction labs in their homes. So crime is not down in Denver or in Colorado. Crime is up, and I guess this just depends on which report you use. UCR might show crimes. Actually, UCR shows crime stable or even. NIVR shows crime up. We talked to two police chiefs in surrounding areas. One police chief took us on a Craigslist meet to a guy who was bringing and delivering him marijuana. Well, the kid also had methamphetamine, he had ecstasy, he had a handgun, and he had about $12,600 in cash on him. He'd been out delivering marijuana all over Colorado all day. I know drug dealers who've left New Jersey selling heroin to make a fortune in marijuana in Colorado, because now the illegal grows are all over the state. You can grow six plants in your home in Colorado. But people are growing 1,060 plants in their home, and they're selling it and making a lot of money.
Is the regulation the problem, and not, is it so much that it's legalization was the problem, or is it just sounds like they legalize it without thinking ahead to all the regulation that was needed to control this?
Yeah, it's not regulated. We put the cart before the horse, and so I went down. I want it downgraded as do you. I want it studied. I want to find out every disease known to man in some way involves cannabinoid receptors in the brain. So, and in the body. I didn't even know until starting this movie that there was cannabinoid receptors in the body. So if cannabinoid receptors are involved in all these diseases, marijuana has to have medicinal benefits. And Israel has proved that. So let's study it. Let's research it. Let's put whatever we have to into this to find out the medical benefits, but not commercialize it and sell it in a store and tell kids that it's safe. Still 3 out of 4 kids think prescription medication is safe. It's not safe if it's not prescribed for you. And so marijuana is not safe if it's a THC level of 30% flower, 70, 80, 90% concentrate, and kids are ingesting it. So I want it downgraded. I want it studied. I want the FDA to monitor it. Like, I'm not a huge fan of the FDA, but I'd rather the FDA be monitoring marijuana than two guys in their garage growing some strain.
and then telling desperate
parents that this is going to help your child.
Yeah, neither one of us are fans of the FDA, that's for sure. But do you think it's too late? I mean, is the genie just out of the bottle at this point? Because it seems like there's political will now, and it seems like that the people sort of want this out.
You said something very profound earlier. This last trip I went to Colorado, it was about 7 months since the previous trip. And I'm telling you, I went to Aspen, Breckenridge, Boulder, Aurora, Littleton, Denver. Everywhere I went, road construction, cranes, buildings going up, apartments. I went to this one hotel to stay at, and there was 2 more hotels built in 7 months since I was there. It's a crazy boom. Unemployment's just over 3%, right? So you look around, and people want to say, well, that's because of weed, and this isn't this great. I don't believe profit on addiction is moral, and I don't believe profit on addiction will last. I believe that the unrelated, the subsequent and related healthcare costs to this are going to far outweigh the tax revenue. And I don't believe all this growth is from marijuana and the legalization of marijuana. I believe it's partial due to that, but I think the unemployment rate is so low is because so many Coloradans are using medical marijuana cards to smoke marijuana that they can't get jobs. They can't pass drug tests. I went to two recruiters. That's the first thing they both asked me. Can you pass a drug test? Like before they said, do you have your resume? Like I said, I'm here from out of state. I'm moving to Colorado, and I'm looking for a job. The first, both of them, I'm going to do a bunch more this next trip, but the first question out of both of their mouth, can you pass a drug test? And so I said, what is that supposed to mean? And they said, well, it's just amazing how many people can't pass drug tests in Colorado. We can't get people jobs. So people are coming in from out of state to take the jobs of Coloradans can't. Listen, I think the biggest reason for the boom in Colorado is tech. I mean, it's the Silicon Valley of the Midwest now. Google's moving their university to Boulder. There's 1,800 jobs there with 3,000 collateral jobs. I think the tech boom in Colorado is the biggest reason for it. But I do accept and understand that, you know, that marijuana legalization has something to do with this because you need more lawyers, you need more CPAs, you need more security. You know, there's more advertising. You can't pick up a periodical in the entire state of Colorado. It doesn't matter what it is. I picked up a family magazine called Parent, something County Parent, right? And in the back of the magazine's Parent, it had marijuana advertising.
They're everywhere.
So, Denver Post is doing real well. They're selling advertisements for marijuana, putting coupons in newspapers. So there's a lot of collateral money, and the tax money is going to the schools too. But I don't know that. I think the figure they gave me was $42 million went to the school system of Colorado this past year.
Right.
But their school budget was like $6 billion or something like that, or $5 billion.
So it's,
it was $42 million was a scratch in the bucket, drop in the bucket, and they're building like 14 new schools. So if their budget is not fixed with marijuana legalization because so many people are moving into Colorado. But I really think it's the tech boom that's making that happen more so than marijuana. But I do believe it's a factor. I just personally believe it's the Trojan horse that's going to implode our country. I'm more scared of marijuana than I am of methamphetamine and heroin.
Wow, that's...
My wife and I put about 800 people into treatment in the last 4 years, since I turned my life into this mission, we've put people into treatment. I'm talking about people you would have never imagined dealing with drug addiction. And it started with the pharmaceutical industry, and the cartels are now in the heroin, methamphetamine, and soon to be cocaine because the marijuana industry in Mexico is dead. Now they're funneling cash through Colorado to launder money back to Mexico and South America.
It's a tremendous story behind the story that most people aren't getting. What do you think about the political part of this? Because we are in an election year, and we still have Hillary Bernie and Donald Trump. It's most likely, I think, most people that believe it will be Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton. What do you think? Is it even going to make a difference? I mean, obviously, some of us believe that it doesn't even matter who's elected at this point, but do you believe there's a difference between where Hillary Clinton stands on this versus Donald Trump?
Yeah, I spent a couple of weeks in New Hampshire asking all the presidential candidates 5 pointed questions on pharmaceuticals, direct consumer marketing, on heroin and such. And, I know Donald Trump wants to build a wall, and he believes it's going to stop all the heroin from coming in America. It's crazy because that's not how the heroin's coming into America. Some is. But the heroin's not coming into America from our southern border. A wall's not going to stop heroin from coming into America. So it's coming in through the ports. I'm scared of Colorado because how do you put that genie back in the bottle? I just hope California doesn't legalize it. The people that need marijuana, that I think marijuana can help them from a medicinal standpoint, I'm not against. But we have that in Colorado, California. Why do we need to legalize it? Why do you need to put – there's more dispensaries in Denver than there is McDonald's and Starbucks combined. Hmm. I mean, there's one section of Denver, a minority section of Denver, that has one dispensary for every 47 residents. I mean, we don't need this. So I don't know. I don't think there's a difference. I mean, I think Donald Trump – I think Donald Trump, we have a better chance of him enforcing federal law. but I don't think either candidate has really addressed it. To tell the Justice Department not to enforce federal law sends a very, very, very bad message to criminals, doesn't it? So I think Donald Trump would be a better choice. I guess the lesser two evils, but I just don't think that we should not enforce federal law. So let's downgrade it from a Schedule 1 to a Schedule 2, but let's not legalize it. So we need to pull – there's an amendment in Colorado that's got a lot of momentum called Amendment 137, and it will eliminate 80% of what's being sold in Colorado. And I think we need to move forward with that. We definitely need to hold off and study what's happening in Colorado so people can make informed choices and decisions.
Before we have the vote. We're up against another break. My guest tonight is Michael DeLeon, and we're talking about the possible legalization of marijuana in California. And Michael, when we come back, I want to get into a little bit more about what you're specifically doing, your crusade for the last several years, and how you're helping the children of this country avoid some of the things that you went through and avoid some of the things that a lot of kids have gone through in this country and the deaths that we've seen from heroin and other drugs in this country. So we'll get to that when we come back. This is Dr. Gregory A. Smith on Truth, Medicine, and Politics, and we will be right back.
Coming up on The Next Drive Home with Jillian Barbary and John Phillips, it's going to be the 4th of July.
Which means a lot of M80s going off in people's asses while they're eating in the backseat of their car while it's being self-driven.
And don't forget, you heard it here first.
I love holidays. Live and local right after Dr. Drew and Psycho Mike on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
This July 4th weekend, make your own fireworks at Guitar Center with savings up to 40% in every department. Get an Ibanez acoustic for just $99, an American Audio powered speaker for $129, and add a ProLine speaker stand set with bag for $59. And grab a copy of The List in store with deals too low to advertise. Find your stage, find your fire, find your sound. Only at Guitar Center's 4th of July savings event, in store and online.
Geico presents Kathy, the Candid Real Estate Agent.
Now in the living room, you'll see this beautiful bay window. It's energy efficient and lets in a ton of natural light. It will also let in a thief when you leave it unlocked, and he'll steal your laptop and flat screen TV. Now who wants to see the kitchen?
It's hard to know all that comes with renting a home or apartment. That's why the Geico Insurance Agency makes getting covered for personal property loss and damage quick and easy. Visit geico.com and see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
Hi, it's Alan Gervey.
And I'm Carrie Kasem.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice?
Then tune in to Gervey's Law Saturdays at 2 when we open up the discussion and tackle difficult issues in law and life.
That's right. You've heard of Murphy's Law, but have you heard of Gervey's Law? Gervey's Law is that anything that can go wrong can also go right. And we go at it with some of the greatest legal minds in the country.
It's the intersection of law and life. Don't miss it Saturdays at 2 right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Norms has two ways to make your mouth water.
Enjoy your SoCal Day Sunny Side Up with Norms USDA Choice Sirloin Steak and Eggs. Two eggs, two hotcakes, and hash browns.
Sunny, sunny, sunny.
Only $8.99.
Or stack up your rack with Norms Baby Back Ribs. Complete rib dinners with golden fried shrimp, crispy chicken tenders, or juicy sirloin steak.
Oh, baby.
Starting at $11.99. Soup and salad included. Served all day.
Norms is SoCal.
Norms Restaurants, where life happens. Open 24/7.
18 locations. NormsRestaurants.com.
This is America.
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 USA.
Happy 4th of July weekend from Talk Radio 790 KABC.
You are listening to Truth, Medicine, and Politics with Dr. Gregory A. Smith. To call in live with your question or comment, please call 800-222-5222. 800-222-5222.
And we are back with my special guest tonight, Michael DeLeon. We've been talking about his personal story, which is tremendous, and also the problem with possible legalization of marijuana in the state of California and the impact that it's had in other states where it's legal. Michael, we only have a few minutes left. I want to give you a chance to talk about what you're doing and how people can get in touch with you and contribute to what you're doing for the children of this country.
Yeah, we appreciate it because, you know, we're a nonprofit. We, you know, get very little funding from different counties and certain states, but we definitely need funding and support. We've created in 9 years the second to none student assembly and year-long curriculum program in the country. So I've traveled. I've seen everybody that's out there. I've done all the research for 9 years, and it's taken me 9 years to get to a point to where I have a full curriculum for an entire school for an entire school year. And we do student presentation programs in the fall and in the spring. They're dynamic. 80% of the kids who see our presentation programs go home and talk to their parent about it, and 40% of the kids who see the programs talk to a staff member in school. We're bringing out kids that are dealing with issues like abuse, like substance abuse, like self-harm, just because of the courage that our speakers have when they go in and they motivate these kids to go out there and reach for help. And that's what we want kids to do. In the, you know, elementary school and middle school, reach out for help. It's not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength. And so we've really pushed these kids to use the resources that are available to them so they can get the help they need before it turns into, you know, something more serious.
How can the audience get in touch with you?
Drinking is at an all-time high, and these kids are exposed to things we've never imagined.
Michael, we only have a little bit of time. How can the audience get in touch with you? I want to make sure they get
there. SteeredStraight.org, www.steeredstraight.org, SteeredStraight, SteeredStraight.org. And the phone numbers are on there, and the donate button's on there. It's 100% tax deductible. We're a 501c3. And so we're in about 16 states on a regular basis. This past year we went to 47, and we want to go to every state in the country. And I'm desperate to open up California so we can hit the California school system. So any help that people could give us, they can direct it towards certain areas. But we have curriculums for the schools, and we're producing these movies and getting these movies into the hands of parents and kids so they can kind of educate themselves about what drug use is all about.
Michael, we're going to have to cut it off at that point. And listen, I really appreciate you coming on tonight. And my guest tonight, Michael DeLeon, if you missed any of this, please go to drgregorysmith.com, drgregorysmith.com, or kbc.com. You need to hear what this man has to say. Listen, have a great week. We will be back next Saturday night. This is Dr. Gregory A. Smith, and I am out.
Your love is king. Crown you with my heart. Your love is king. Never need to part. Your kisses ring.
This show furnished by GS Medical Center and Dr. Gregory A. Smith.